You're listening to In This League
on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Ace. Featuring Bogman.
Oh, the yummy silence. Oh, it tastes so good, you guys.
Oh, he's on tilt. He's full tilt.
And the Welsh.
Nice.
Bogman, let's not overreact.
Are you serious?
Make a little pick. Get down tonight. What?
Nice.
You high scores, a bad.
Visit InThisLeague.com for full podcasts and more. Coming to your ears now.
What's up? What's happening? It is In This League right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. I am Chris Welsh, a.k.a. The Welsh. You can find me on Twitter at IsItTheWelsh. So easy. That's Scott Bogman. You can find him on Twitter at Bogman Sports. Today on this show, which, by the way, we're very happy to be right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network every 8 to 10 Eastern. We are going hardcore on fantasy basketball as our good buddy, Mike Gallagher from Roto World. One of the best in the business. If you are new-ish to the fantasy basketball world, there is no one better and no other person, even outside of us, that you should be following than Mike. He's going to be joining us in the second hour where we're going to be doing some player debates. We're going to be talking about some advanced stats, some trades, some young players. All of that's coming up, so you don't want to go anywhere. We got the tip-off for you with some of the major stuff, and we're going to play our blind plays game in the next segment here. But Bogman, I've got a very, very important subject I need to ask you about.
Okay.
We have an insider program at InThisLeague.com where if you want to be a part of all the madness that happens, you want extra shows that we do, these secret shows, and you want all this extra content, you also can communicate with us. And we have this like GroupMe app and all these sports rooms. It's really fun. Except this is where any money that we make is worth what's happening, because this debate has gone on for 8 days now. We have our listeners have gotten some of the big fantasy minds in the industry of basketball into it, and I have a feeling like at some point like actual players are going to be involved. Bogman, the debate is, do you call it a basketball hoop or a basketball goal? Our life exists around this right now.
Well, I'm going to make it really confusing and tell you that I usually just call it a basket.
That's not confusing because that's right. But basket is synonymous with hoop, not with goal. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, it's a basket.
People have come out of the woodworks. I've been on this earth for 33 years. In a week, you'll have been on this earth for 34 years. And not once until 8 days ago had we heard anyone use the term basketball goal.
Not once.
No, goal is, it's just not a thing.
Goals for losers, Bogman. Losers.
It's for losers.
Losers need to be behind the wall because they use the word goal.
We got to make basketball great again. It's called a basket because Dr. Naismith made it. It's a basketball, all right?
I've never been so frustrated in my life. And some of our guys were getting at Dr. A from Roto World and Gallagher. And we're going to talk to Gallagher about this. We need to get to the bottom of this. I need closure. You're absolutely right. Because these guys are saying, like, this is like a thing in the South or something like this. And I'm like,
it's not a thing in the South. I think what Miles
is the uneducated? Is that what he's trying to say? He's trying to say the uneducated. Call it the goal.
I think what he was saying is this is like a north-south debate, not like a this is south, this is north saying or anything.
This is a sane and insane debate. Like, my brain is so fried. So I need to know. So you need to tweet at us. At is it the Welsh, at Bogman Sports. Do you call it a basketball hoop? I will also accept just a basket. Or do you call it a basketball goal? Because this is madness. And what's more frustrating,
you call it something crazy.
Yeah. Are you an insane person? If you type, and what's more frustrating is Google doesn't help. If you type in basketball goal, like basketball hoops show up. Like, that's frustrating. Like, what? Okay. Here, I'm going to type this in. Is it called a basketball goal? That it auto-corrected goal or hoop. That's even more frustrating. The heated debate. I can't even say the word. Smartation is what it rhymes with, is what the person says. There's online. Bogman, there are forums from 2008 of this heated debate. Apparently that we just got into it. It's like the dress. It's like the, is it blue or white dress?
Right.
Is it a hot dog, a sandwich?
No.
Is a basketball a hoop or goal? Those are the three most frustrating things, apparently.
Hoop.
This is
it's
crazy.
A hoop or it's a basket.
Well, of course,
it's
online, actually, they say, actually, apparently, technically, it's a basketball system, which that's
it's a basketball system.
No.
It's like a pyramid system.
I can't do this. Yeah, I turn it around, funnel, three people help you, and then you reach your goal with your hoop, and everyone gets paid except for you.
No, Frank, it's a funnel system,
it's
okay?
It's a funnel. All right, I've never been more
frustrated. Turn it upside down, Deandra. Oh, damn it.
Oh, I get it now. It's a scam.
I've never been more frustrated in my life, but don't go anywhere on the other side of this break. We'll get to more of this riveting, fascinating stuff. We got some blind plays. Going to lay down some stats without the player's name and see if Bogman can figure it out. We're going to be talking about some of the big performances, some of the guys that are returning, some of the guys that are leaving. We've got trades. We've got pickups. I think Gallagher's going to join us, and we're going to have some more fun, and hopefully he can help just clear up this insanity. So go to InThisLeague.com. Check out all the shows. We got seven different fantasy shows that you would be interested in. Prospect, NFL baseball prospect. Our baseball podcast has just taken full form. We're talking keepers. We're doing mock drafts. It's all happening. It is a fantasy fun house over at InThisLeague.com. So check it out. But don't go anywhere. We'll be right back on the other side of this break. It's In This League on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
You're listening to In This League on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
All right, Boggs, I got some blind plays for you and just some other little wrinkles I've added to it. So first one is a two-week look, but I'm giving you a little hint. One is ranked inside the top 50 when you look at these guys, and I've changed up kind of the stats you might be looking for. So are you ready to play blind plays? Number one, player number one on the blind plays, shooting 385 from field goal, field hoop, 828 from free throw, 2.5 threes a game, 17 points a game, 4 rebounds, 4.5 assists with almost 1.5 steals, no blocks, 1.7 turnovers a game. That is player number one. Really, you know, field goal percentage is just atrocious. Okay numbers across the board. Player number two, shooting 46% from field goal. That's a significant amount different than player one. 79% free throw, 1.5 threes, 16 points, 4 rebounds, 3.5 assists, 1 steal, almost 1.5 block, and 1 turnover. Big differences. Player number two has better field goal. Player number one has better free throw. Player number one has better 3 points, same rebounds. Player number one has a full assist better. They're about the same on steals, but player number two has the blocks and the turnovers. First, pick your player, and then let's see if you can figure these out.
Well, it's definitely player number two, because within this 2 weeks, man, it's not really close. You're talking about 80, you know, an 8% difference in field goal percentage, and you're getting way more blocks. Is the first guy? Well, the second guy is the guy ranked in the top 50.
You are correct about that. Yes.
The way that Yahoo does the ranks, we know field goal percentage is huge.
Yeah, you just never know. I mean, you put it out there because Player number one has a significant more threes, more points, more assist, a little bit more on the steals and free throw. So, you know, and they're both good on the turnovers. But yes, you are correct. Player number two is inside the top 50 over the last 2 weeks. Player number one is not.
Is one Wilson Chandler?
No, I feel like that's a good guess. I bet his numbers are actually pretty close to that. But no, that is not player number one.
Number two, I don't think I can figure out. So
I'll give you one hint. Both players are point guards.
Both are point guards. Okay.
Yes. One for the West, one for the East.
Is one of these Schroeder?
No, we had Schroeder last week.
Yeah,
he's been really good. He's been really good.
Is the second one Dragic?
Yeah, no, but you were onto something because player number two, who you picked, is on that team. Tyler Johnson is the player that
Johnson,
you picked.
The so, great white hype.
The great. I like that you picked it. That was very good. But you had the right team and the right position, but the wrong player. So you picked who is inside the top 50. And by the way, I think I looked on the entire season. He's inside the top 70, maybe even 60. But Tyler Johnson,
great.
He has been really, really good in absence of Dragic and even with him. Player number one. So you know who the player you took. Do you want to take one more guess? The player, obviously, number one is from the West and a point guard. Do you want to take one more stab at it?
From the West. Is that Rubio?
It is not. The player that you did not pick from the Los Angeles Lakers, D'Angelo Russell.
Yeah.
Hide your phones.
Hide your field goal percentage, yeah.
That's right. But D'Angelo Russell, who significantly pre-ranked, I mean, not even in the same hemisphere as Tyler Johnson, who has been picked by most people to have a resurgence in the second half. I mean, he's doing it, but Tyler Johnson, I don't even think this is so much an, you only look at the 2 weeks and you go, okay, whatever, 2 weeks, Tyler Johnson. No, Tyler Johnson has been good all season. I'm not saying you trade D'Angelo for Tyler Johnson, but...
And Josh Richardson's hurt now. I mean,
and Dragic,
you know,
could be traded?
Right, Dragic could be traded. There's a lot of stuff going in Tyler Johnson's favor. That's a good one.
All right, number two. Now, this one's fun. This is over the last 30 days. The caveat to this is both players rank worse than 150.
Huh.
But these are known names. Both are known names. So those are the hints I'm going to give you.
It's because of percentages, I see.
Okay. That's they are both in Yahoo's system ranked worse than 150. Player number one, shooting 45% from the field hoop range, 68% free throw, 1 3 a game, just about 22 points a game, 4.5 rebounds, 2.5 assists, a steal, 0.3 blocks, with just an even 2 turnovers a game he's giving up. That is player number one. Player number two, shooting 38% from the field hoop range, 86% free throw, 1.7 threes, 19 points, just over 3 rebounds, just under 4 assists, a steal, 0.2 blocks, but 2.9 turnovers a game. So the big difference is player number one has much greater field goal. Player number two has greater free throw, a little bit greater three on the player number two. Player number one has 2 more points a game, also a full rebound more. Player number two has a little over a full assist a game. The other stuff is about the same. Who are you picking?
I'm going to take player one, because if you have scoring that many points, your field goal percentage is more important. And I don't know how many free throws these guys are taking. I mean, if they're taking 6 or 7 a game, then maybe I would go with player two, because
These are not low free throw guys.
I'm still going to go with one, I think, actually, because the 38% is bad over the last 30 days.
So you're taking field goal over free throw. And
yes.
I mean, you're getting more rebounds.
I mean,
you're
better
more
in
points.
Most things except for assisting.
Free throw and threes, player number two is better in.
Right, exactly. Just the turnovers, the boards, the points. I think it's probably all worth what player one is. So is player two Andrew Wiggins?
He is not, because the player that you picked is Andrew Wiggins.
Andrew Wiggins, okay.
You picked Andrew Wiggins as player number one with the field goal percentage and the points. Very, very sneaky. But no, that you were on to
it. He was shooting that well.
He's shooting much better from field goal range. And like I said, these are high volume points guys. Andrew Wiggins, always kind of the guy people claim doesn't do anything, but he's doing some stuff. But the free throw percentage, with the lack of some of the other stuff, is keeping him down. To be honest with you, kind of surprising that he would rank worse than 150 based on the numbers you look at, but that's what it is.
Yeah, I think it's just because he's not. It's got to be because of the free throw percentage. That has to be adjusted, because he has low turnovers for a guy that handles the ball as much as he does. Just not a whole lot of assists. I don't know.
But also, I mean, you know, I'm telling you, with the volume of free throws, I should probably look real quick that, the 67% free throw, if it's at a higher clip, you know, like the guys like Andre Drummond, you know, they kill Drummond and DeAndre Jordan, not just because the actual percentage, but because of like how bad, you know, how many they'll take.
Yeah, they're
game.
Taking a lot.
So
right?
I'm going to look real quick. Andrew Wiggins.
How high is player two's pre-rank? Higher than Wiggins?
That's an interesting thing that you say. It is lower than Wiggins.
Lower than Wiggins.
So let me go to averages real quick. Just to give you a mark on Wiggins real quick. Wiggins is shooting 6 free throws a game, and it's causing that 67%. 18 shots a game at 45. And he was pre-ranked at 44, and his current is 154. Player number two, who you're asking about, he's an oddity because he was being drafted higher than his pre-draft rank. I can guarantee you that. But he is ranked a couple notches higher than Wiggins at 151. Would you like to take a guess?
I don't think I can figure it out.
This is a player that you and I have seen in person, the Phoenix Suns' own Devin Booker.
Devin Booker, okay.
Yeah, Devin Booker.
I want to say anyone that like that has these type of stats, I want to say Trevor Ariza because I figure you're gonna screw with me and put Ariza in here when he's having a bad month eventually. So
I'll get you. But I thought it was interesting. Both of those guys shooting the same field goals a game, and Devin Booker is 38% shooting 18 a game, yet he is higher than Wiggins, who is shooting 45 or 46% at the same field goal, but his free throw is 67 or 68%, and he's only shooting 6 a game, and they are really killing Wiggins because of that.
Well, the algorithm crushes the free throw percentage. We know that. That's why guys like Drummond and Jordan rank so low.
Yeah.
Is because of the algorithm. I think it needs to be tweaked slightly.
Who would you want rest of season, Devin Booker or Andrew Wiggins?
Wiggins.
Easy?
Not easy, but I feel like they're going to trade more pieces away for Phoenix and really tank.
Which is great for Booker.
It's good for Booker, but that field goal percentage is going to go down because he's going to have all contested shots.
True.
Wiggins at least gets open shots. Now he needs to sink those damn free throws. What is he shooting on the year? Do you still have it up?
That's a good question. Yeah, hold on. Let's go back.
Because I'm guessing he's shooting something like 75 or 80, closer to that range than 68% on the year.
He is shooting 73% on the year.
73.
That's his free throw.
Still not great.
His field goal is 44%. It's lower. His steals are down. His assists are down. You want to know what he ranks on the season on Yahoo's algorithm?
140-something?
149.
Yeah.
On the whole season.
Yeah, they have a weird algorithm. I mean, I like it because, you know, like we were talking about last week, I actually did go through, and I don't have this on the show sheet, so you can't see it, but I went through and I found all of the points made for the, all the points scored for the year, 3 points made, rebounds, assists, steals, and blocks. And I tallied them all up. They didn't have a season total, so I had to go through each team and add them all up.
Jeez.
I did it on a random day. It was like last Tuesday or something. And I just kind of went by scarcity of the of the stats. There were 107,000 points scored, 46,000 rebounds, 23,000 assists, 10,000 threes, 8,000 steals, and almost 5,000 blocks.
Wow. And so actually blocks, steals, and threes.
Yeah, and threes are the lowest. And the biggest discrepancy is, and this isn't, I'm not telling you this is worth this. I'm just telling you for every 21.5 points scored, that is one block in the NBA.
Wow, really?
Yes. So blocks are very scarce. I mean,
as we've said, though, I mean,
way more scarce than steals. That's the stuff and things that we want.
Yeah. And that, I mean, that is like everything you just said is the message behind stuff and things that we make as a funny thing. And I know we're not groundbreaking here on what, you know, some fantasy basketball podcasts like to do. Some are all about the stat. I mean, hey, Gallagher's way smarter than us, and you're going to get a lot of analytical stuff. But something we have not, you know, stepped away from and harpened the entire season is stuff and things. We're taking stuff and things over sexy stats. And I think that's an incredible marker there. Like, do you happen to have like what, you know, the points to steals is, you know, for.
Yeah. Points to steals is 13 points to one steal.
I mean, there you go. What about threes?
Threes is 10 points to one three.
So, I mean, a block is worth twice as much as a single three.
Yeah, exactly. We'll put this up on the show sheet for sure. I'll send it to you so we can put it up. I have the conversion of everything. You know, one block is 9.5 rebounds. You know, one.
Do we
block
want to put it on this one? On, we'll put it on this the article page of this episode.
Yeah, I'll send it to you. I have it up. So,
article page, guys. Let's talk about what an article page is, because a lot of you don't know, because the amount of times we put stuff up and you're like, where is it? InThisLeague.com. The thing that shows episode 107, click on that and then scroll down and you will find Bogman's amazing work here, because I think that is fascinating. And at least what it does is it hits more home the point that you should know. But a lot of people forget. A lot of people, you know, that this comes back to that. Let's assume Nicholas Batum is healthy for a moment when we talk about him. This is why Nicholas Batum was so unique. You know, what the blocks and the steals and the stuff and things, being one of the leaders of stuff and things, to go trade him for a guy like Carmelo Anthony, no effing way. And this is why GA is the number one fantasy player in basketball.
Exactly. Him and Kevin Durant, because they do everything. They do everything, especially Durant, with the good percentages. So, and like I said, I'm not telling you that 21.5 points is worth one block. What I'm saying is that's how scarce blocks are. And I mean, there's all kind of, you can take a guy with blocks that has horrible percentages. Percentages aren't mixed into this. So that's also obviously a contributing factor. But I did go through all of them and kind of lay out what each one is worth versus another category. And that can help when you're trading too.
Absolutely. It's sexy, sexy stuff. When big performances go down, we call them the Boner Garage.
Boner Garage. Oh, wow. A little arrow there, even.
Is that not like the hottest?
Boner Garage, you're up.
Boban Mojanovic, 15 points, 19 rebounds, two babies and an old man. I eat them
in 22 minutes. Boban, he is a beast. He's a monster, and he took down 19 rebounds in a single sitting.
Boban Monsteronovic is what the Welsh calls him, because you always call him the monster. But he's getting, I mean, they signed him to a decent contract, and he's just not getting, you know, the type of work that you would have thought that he was going to get. I mean, Pop told him to leave San Antonio. He wanted to stay, and he said, no way, man. Go get paid. Go get your money. And right back tonight, he's back to no
time. I'd have said the same thing. I'd been like, yeah, get the hell out of here. Get out of here, you beast, before the villagers come with their pitchforks. He Boban or Tim Thomas and Kenyon Martin?
Boban
was amazing. Boban or
Boban
Kane?
Looks like the dude from Boban.
He looks like what was supposed to be under Kane's mask when he fought the Undertaker.
He looks like the guy from the Bubble Boy. You know who I'm talking about?
Yes.
The big giant dude that's been on Howard Stern show all the time.
Yeah,
he looks like his little brother.
Isn't that guy an actual wrestler?
No, that guy had like all kinds of physical maladies. But this guy, 15 points, 19 boards. I couldn't believe it, in 22 minutes. And he's only had one other game with 12 minutes, and he's right back to the bench and not playing.
Oh, Jokic, eat your heart out.
Boban.
CJ McCollum went crazy with Dame out, averaging 2.6 threes, 31 points, 4 rebounds, just about 5 assists, 1.2 steals, half a block. The turnovers are there. Great, great percentages. CJ McCollum was buck with Dame out.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, 49% field goal, 93.5 on 6.2 attempts per game on the free throw line. He was crazy.
I wonder if he's been talking to Gallagher in the DMs. Remember, Gallagher likes to DM with McCollum about advanced stats.
Sliding into McCollum's DMs. We'll have to ask Gallagher about
that. Let's ask him about that. There were a couple good Sunday night performances, by the way, just to mention it when you want to get all boner garagey. James Harden, the quietest double-digit triple doubles in a season you've ever seen because of Russell Westbrook, but just got his 10th, going 40-10-11, two steals, two blocks. But did I mention it was actually a quadruple double, because he also had 10 turnovers?
Well, I mean, that'll happen. that'll happen. He also shot 50%.
And he was a perfect 10 from 10. The line. Yeah.
I mean, four threes.
I mean, you lose turn. I mean, we've talked about this. Like, you know you're losing turnovers. 10
turnovers.
Yeah exactly. Jabari Parker also with Mr. Stuff and Things, GA out, almost put up a triple-double, 28, 8, 7, 2, and 1 with three threes and pretty good percentages. Jabari Parker stepping into his own. One of those players I love in the second half. We had somebody message us, or it was in the GroupMe app, in our we have a basketball room where people, you know, you can talk basketball, you can ask questions, and someone said, I just traded Derek Favors for Jabari Parker. How'd I do? And you and me are
thievery.
Like, that's not okay. That's absolute thievery. And on that night, he almost goes for a triple-double. And then lastly, the guy, how can we not talk about him when Gallagher's going to be on the show? But Miles Turner, number one in Yahoo over the last 7 days, as of like going through Saturday and Sunday not counted.
Yeah, I mean, he has been absolutely incredible. You know, it's funny because we were talking to Brewski, and he was like, well, you know, Miles Turner is going to keep blocking five shots a game. He's blocking like 3.5, 2.5 a game, it seems. You know, at least for the last week, he's been incredible. And he has no signs of slowing down. This is the stuff that I was talking about with Miles Turner before the season started, where, you know, coming into last season, they were like, you run weird. You need to learn how to run better.
It's such a
weird
thing.
That is where he came from the beginning of last season to now for a full week. He's been the number one player in fantasy. So dude has just making more and more strides. And if you can get him in a dynasty league, good on you.
You're doing and I'm going to look real quick just for argument's sake on blocks. He is number three overall on the season as of the Saturday stats. Gobert is 2.6 a game. Davis 2.5. And he is tied. Him and Embiid are both 2.4. But I want to look at totals here because this will be a little bit skewed. He's actually still number three. Gobert is 99. Anthony Davis, 91. Again, this is not counting Sunday. And Miles Turner has 89. Miles Turner has 13 more blocks than Hassan Whiteside. That's incredible. But guess what? GA has 72. I just want to point that out. GA has more blocks. Check out the guys that GA has more blocks in. Porzingis.
Serge.
Porzingis. DeAndre Jordan. Serge, Joel Embiid is incredible. I mean, then the guys get obvious. Karl Anthony Towns, though, DeMarcus Cousins. What?
Big Mac.
A freaking beast.
All right, coming up, we are going to have, we have an extended tip. We got a long tip this week.
Yeah, that's a good thing.
The rest of the tip is going to be trades and pickups and all the stuff on the back half of the tip.
So we just gave them the tip of the tip, and now they'll get the rest of the tip.
Yeah, rest of the tip coming.
Phrasing?
Right after this break on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
You're listening to In This League on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Bogman, whenever we want to highlight a player, whether they're in the lineup, they're out because they're hurt, or they're back because they're off of an injury, Dan and Kyle Korver traded to the Cavs for Mike Dunleavy Jr. I didn't even know he was alive.
Yeah. He is out of witness protection.
Wow.
And back now he's going to go on down to the Atlanta Hawks.
Has there ever been a wider trade of Kyle Korver for Mike Dunleavy Jr.?
Not since the 40s.
Not since they segregated basketball, that's for sure.
Right, exactly.
Well, Kyle Korver, a lot of people are actually like more excited about this now. I don't know if I am. He's no different than James Jones to me.
Right. J.R. Smith had a big role and J.R. Smith got hurt, and that's what they're bringing Korver over for. I just, you know, a couple people asked me about Korver, and I said, I just want to see it first before I go in a standard 12 man and go at him. I just want to see it first.
I mean,
all.
It's fine. If you need threes and he's available, I suppose it's okay. But the Cavs are like, they're just resting their guys all the time. Why are they not going to rest Korver? He's been a mess. He's been a mess for 18 months now. So if it's a bigger league and you want to speculate, okay. At the end of the day, I'd always ask myself, like, what am I getting rid of? Is it worth getting rid of, Dellavedova? Okay, I guess you could do that, you know, or are you cutting one three-point specialist for another, you know, one that hasn't worked out? You're cutting Rob Covington for Kyle Korver? Yeah, I guess.
Would you cut James Johnson for him?
I would not.
Tyler Johnson?
No.
Buddy Hield?
No, Buddy. We're going to talk about Buddy Hield today. Buddy Hield's been pretty good.
Yeah, I don't think I would either. So that's why I said I want to see it first before I go crazy about it.
And you know what? If you miss out, Kyle Korver, I don't think is going to jump into J.R. Smith's role. Like J.R. Smith, out,
there's going to be a lot of trades and plenty of 3-point opportunities are going to open for players. So I'm not worried about missing out on Korver.
I agree for you, and especially coming, you know, talking about James Johnson, one of the key markers for him was always Justice Winslow. Well, Justice Winslow, and he's out for the season now. Damn it.
And it's gone.
Yeah, I mean, just the week after I told everybody to pick him up over Josh Richardson, right? At least Josh Richardson is also hurt now.
At least it wasn't over James Johnson.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I mean, Winslow is hurt. He's out for the year. It sucks. Torn labrum. I think, is that the same thing that Horford had a couple years ago? Or no, he just broke his collarbone. It's the muscle, right?
That's all I know. It's the not good.
Yeah, it's hurt. So he is dumpable in all your leagues. James Johnson gets a bump. That Miami Heat, the Heat have been completely barraged with injuries this year. Yeah, they have been
train wreck. They're a dumpster fire. They're just garbage day. Nothing is more garbage day than them.
Garbage day.
Jason Kidd, and he's actually doing something decent. He's not Jason Kidding a situation where he is now benching Dellavedova for Brogdon, and I love it.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it's to monitor Deli after his hamstring injury or it's just to start Brogdon.
I hope it's to start Brogdon, man.
Yeah, but see, we can never tell with the Mad Hatter here, can we? True. Change places.
Yes. Next week, we might be like, and Jason Kidding again. But
right, he's Brogdon back in.
Over the last 2 weeks, averaging 32 minutes a game, which that's really important. 10 points, 4 rebounds, 6 assists. Not much on the stuff and things or the threes, which I hope he can work on. The turnovers are pretty decent. He's playing a little bit of kind of that point marker, but he is pretty good, man. I mean, he's pretty good with freaking GA out, went 22-1-5-3 steals and a block, but he just does not. He's not. And that's one of the, I just want to point this out to people. One of the things that people get all bonkers about with Brogdon is they go proxy by a situation, you know, proxy by, you know, by company. And you want to think, oh, Brogdon, he does some decent rebounds and assists. He's like a mini GA. He's not. He had that one nice triple-double game. But people are going to get a little bonkers about him thinking they're going to get GA numbers from him, that he's the next great hope.
Yeah, he's not.
He's not. But he's great, and I think he is.
He's definitely addable. He's a guy.
He is must own in 12-man to me.
I think I'd take him over Kyle Korver. I can tell you that much.
Take him over Deli.
Take him over Deli because he's starting now.
He's ranked 81 over the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, he's been great. You know, there's plenty of guys that come and go. Like, I like Brogdon. I can't be sold on him when Jason Kidd is his coach. I just can't do it.
Pat Bev or Brogdon?
Pat Bev. Pat Bev is guaranteed to be, as long as he's healthy, he's a starting shooting guard.
Yeah, I mean, there's some factors that could affect Brogdon that we'll talk a little bit later, maybe. But I'm all in on Brogdon right now. George Hill, and he's back.
We are back!
He's back. What's the over-under on games until he's out again? The Welsh?
One.
Well, look at these. He's played in 2 games since he's come back. 19-5-7 and a steal with 2 threes. 5 of 12, 7 of 7 from the line was his first game. 19-5-7, really good. And then against Memphis in a low, low scoring game, I think it was 82-79, he had 15-4-2 and a steal with 2 threes, 6 of 14, 1 of 2 from the line.
He had block too in there. He filled up the stat line.
Yeah, I mean, he does everything. He's really good when he's playing. It's just, how long is the dude going to stay healthy this time?
And like,
that's what it is.
What are the Jazz playing for right now?
I mean, they could get that last playoff spot if they played well down the stretch.
Yeah. I mean, the question here isn't like, is George Hill ownable? Yeah, absolutely.
He is.
You'd have to drop Brogdon for George Hill if he's there. If your only choice was to drop Brogdon to pick up George Hill, you do that. But yeah, the injury is more of a problem. I think you and I would echo the same sentiments here, that give George Hill a week of those lines and try to sell him high.
By the way, actually, Utah's fifth. I didn't realize they were so high. 23 and 15. Yeah. They're ahead of Memphis, Oklahoma City, and then it's like down here in this eighth seed, it's a big mess between Portland, Sacramento, Denver, New Orleans, L.A. Yeah, I guess you could throw Phoenix in there if you want to.
Don't. By the way, Ben Simmons, and he's getting closer. He was actually out pregame. He was doing some stuff I saw with Joel Embiid. He's like a step closer to contact practices. Kind of thought he might be a little bit further along than he is right now. But I mean, Philly's in no rush. But I think we're going to see him soon. Over under that you see him February 1st.
Oh, I want to say under because the initial thing was mid-January. I just don't know about Philly with their, you know, Philly and Jason Kidd are the two things that drive me the most crazy in the NBA.
Can you imagine if Jason Kidd was coaching the 76ers?
No, absolutely. I would just avoid all.
The world would just blow up. We would just stop doing this podcast.
I'm going to say under. I'm going to say within the next 2 weeks, he's back.
I'm going to say over, and it sucks. I'm going to say it sucks. I think it's going to be like the first week in February. I do. And I
it would be the least surprising bet I would have lost ever if it was over.
And I've got him in like two or three leagues on my IL just waiting for him to come back and start putting up stats. But I don't know. It's like, you know, we're already getting into the like double digits of January, and he was like street clothes, just throwing some passes pregame. Like, we're going to need more from that. I assume he's going to have full contact practices. And I mean, would you be shocked if they sent him like, you know, D League to play some games or something like that? Or I mean, maybe not. Maybe they just throw him out and he plays 10 minutes. I mean, and that's the other thing. It's like, even if you win that bet and he comes back like January 25th, when does Ben Simmons actually come back as a full player? Because how long is it going to be eased in? So I don't know. I wish he was full contact right now. So we would get him maybe the following week. And then that would make me feel good going into February, but whatever. We'll see. CP3.
I think because he's done everything but no contact. Next week is the contact, and then that's, you know, the week after is when we get him in, you know, for 7 minutes in a game and then 10 minutes and all that stuff.
Let's hope so. CP3, Damian Lillard, and they're back.
They are back.
We are back.
I got crushed in our long-term league, the Welsh, because I own both these guys. These are my first and second round picks.
Those are your guys.
From a long time ago, and I was getting just beat up because I had these guys missing the last 2 weeks, and I am very, very, very happy that they are
freaking
back.
Paul on Sunday night, 19-6-18 off his second game back. You got to love Chris Paul. I've gotten one of those keeper leagues. Good to have the studs back. I've got both of these guys in a couple leagues, and last one on the end, and Demo finally got back to basketball. Boggs, you like Demo.
Well, I did until he started, you know, screwing around with the Rockets and refusing to sign there. And then they finally cut him. He signed with the Pelicans.
What a weird situation that was, by the way, because they matched an offer, didn't they?
He had an offer from the Nets. Yeah, and they matched it. And then something happened.
How did they avoid that?
I think what happened was, for some reason, they were going to pay him out slower than what the Nets were going to pay him. And I guess, I don't know. But so they voided the contract. But I think because they voided it, then the Nets couldn't sign him either. Crazy. So he signed like just above a minimum deal with the Pelicans.
All right.
And it was, I mean, he played 20 minutes on his first game back, which is way more than we expected. He had 11, 5, 4 in a steal, 4-5 field goal, 2-4 from the line. He knocked down a three-pointer. But the biggest thing to take away from Demo's game was, in his first game back after almost a year, he played more minutes than Terrence Jones.
Do you think he slides into that Ryan Anderson role?
Absolutely.
He just becomes Ryan Anderson right now?
He doesn't have the three-point stroke that Ryan Anderson does, but I think that he... You know,
but he's
and
a stretchy four. Like,
right. It's going to be a little bit before we see him playing 30 minutes a game. I think 20 minutes is going to be ceiling for like a week and a half, 2 weeks, and then maybe 3 weeks. So we get up to 25. I think, you know, because he had the back injury, and that's not anything to mess with.
Demo but, or Brogdon? I want Brogdon.
I think I want Demo. I picked up Demo everywhere I could, man. I think he's going to be an impact type of guy.
Yeah, I know. That's definitely your guy. Bogman, trades, bitch.
Yeah, I said, bitch. I laid it out.
But you said, though.
Hmm?
You said,
Yeah.
We got some trade talk going down. Definitely going to talk about this today. The Nuggets are pretty much shopping their entire team, apparently.
Yeah,
they're shopping.
Reed, Gallinari, Chandler, Nurkic, the whole deal.
Yeah, Sunday. Biggest sale you've ever
what
seen.
What you want?
Everything must go.
I got CDs, DVDs, VCR, Blu-ray, HD, DVD, whatever you want. I got it. Come on down to the Nuggets.
Buy one Nurkic, get a Fareed for free. I don't understand what they're doing. I don't. I mean, I do. These are all these players that have just been sticking around forever. But, I mean, it's fine to be full on, like, tank and just rebuild. And I think the Nuggets are, like, 3 years late on the rebuilding process. But that's fine. You know, they should have traded Fareed and Gallinari when they had more value. Chandler's decent and Nurkic is bottom barrel. I just don't see what they're going to get.
I think Nurkic could be better on a different team. I think that maybe Gallinari could be a nice piece for a playoff team. Fareed, I don't know. Like, if he goes, like, if he went to Toronto, that'd be great. But they have Sullinger coming back. I don't
know
how
feel
much
like Fareed would fit. I feel like he'd fit in, like Portland.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, Portland is definitely looking for a big guy. So Fareed could definitely work. Chandler will work anywhere.
Yeah, I agree with that. I agree with that. I think Gallo and Chandler fit anywhere. Nurkic, I think it's a specific situation because he can't go back to another place where they're going to play him 18
Portland
minutes.
Would be good for him, too.
Yeah, I think I agree with you on that one. Speaking of which, the Trailblazers, they are interested in Tyson Chandler. Have him. Do it. Please.
Yeah, I mean, this is overdue for the Suns, right? You need to trade Tyson Chandler. You need to trade Brandon Knight to get some of these guys in the lineup. And Tyson Chandler going is just going to get Marquise Chris and Dragon Bender more minutes, which is what we want.
And a boost to Alex Lynn. It's a huge boost to Chris, but it's a boost to Lynn. You're right. It's a boost to Bender. And if Knight can get out of there, Ulis is a plus. And Bender is more of a plus from the shooting aspect. So there are some benefits to some Suns players that you should be a little preemptive about because this will happen. Knight and Chandler are being traded.
I mean, you said that last year.
No, they're being traded. They talked themselves into we're competing for something last year, which they weren't, because it was because they came off of failing to sign LaMarcus Aldridge and being morons and having signed Tyson Chandler before they had Aldridge inked up. So they tried to play for it. They're not doing that. They can't do that this year. They're hysterically not good, and they need to trade. Knight is going guarantee. Like, I guarantee he's being traded. And I think Chandler is as well. And I think Portland's a good spot for him, and it's a boost for some Suns players.
Yeah, I really want to see them start unloading. You know, it's what needs to happen here.
Yeah, I 100% agree. And then the Nets, kind of their last final piece. I mean, it's the only reason anyone I think would even go to Brooklyn to watch the team is to watch Brook Lopez. But they need to retool this whole thing, and apparently they are shopping him but want multiple first rounders, probably, you know, this coming draft and future ones they're going to want for Brook Lopez.
Yeah, and it's just going to be hard for teams to match the contract with Brook too. So it's going to have to get very interesting. It's going to be one of those where, you know, like, the Nets get the Rockets 2022 first round pick because that's the last one they had or whatever.
Well, they'd have to give up like, you know, like next year, the 19 and like the 22, and then they'd have to give up, you know, some cash contract that you guys have that I don't know that you have.
Yeah, exactly. So it's going to be tough to match it all up. But good luck going to find that on the ESPN Matchmaker app there.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Bogman, pickups, drops, what do we got?
All right, for pickups, we got, obviously, Malcolm Brogdon. I want to say his name Jamaican every time I see it now.
Yeah.
Malcolm Brogdon, man.
Brogdon.
Josh Richardson, which is not going to be a pickup. It was just the most added on the ESPN list because he's already hurt again. Tony Parker back, Montrezl Harrell, James Johnson, Michael Carter-Williams because of the Rondo stuff, Joakim Noah, Buddy Hield, Kyle Korver, and Tyler Johnson. Top three, the Welsh. We know Brogdon's in there. Who are the other two?
Brogdon is one. James Johnson and Tyler Johnson. Those are my three.
Yeah, I think I go Tyler Johnson one, Brogdon two, Harrell three. He was perfect shooting.
Still?
Perfect shooting, coming off the bench.
Did you say James Johnson in there?
I did not. I put James Johnson at four. I said Tyler Johnson, Brogdon, and then Harrell. And
I agree with your order, except I got to take James Johnson over Harrell.
Okay. I mean, I get it.
Yeah. I mean, and there's some other decent ones. I mean, Michael Carter Williams is garbage. Noah's whatever. Buddy Hield has been better. I see picking up Hield. I see picking up Korver. Josh Richardson is kind of bleh. I don't know. The wires are finicky. I think this might be that last run that you can get any guys for, like, let's say a month or so until teams start, you know, just bombing out. And then any of those rookies that have been sitting that no one's picked up, like Dragon Bender, then you might be able to pick up and get some value late in the season. But this is that last little hope of a fantasy free agency.
The death rattle of the wire is
exactly
what you're saying.
I agree.
The drops Welsh. We have Justice Winslow, obviously, with the torn labrum. Tim Frazier just not getting any more minutes now. Luol Deng, Cody Zeller, Rajon Rondo, Jeremy Lin, T.J. Warren, John Henson, Will Barton, Jahlil Okafor. I think I'm okay with everybody except for I'm trying to hold on to Lin, but if you don't have an IL spot, I mean, I totally understand it. So, but other than that, I think I'm all right with most of these guys being gone.
I guess maybe. I still don't want to drop Warren.
Warren's tough, and I
don't want to drop Okafor either because I believe he's going to be traded, and wherever he goes, it's going to be a positive. But I get it. He's garbage right now, but you got to do what you got to do.
Yeah, for the Okafor thing, because I'm holding on to him in a league, and it's just super frustrating because I could really use the roster spot, but I have it's a keeper league where I have him.
I know.
So I don't want to dump him because if he does get moved or Noel gets moved or something different happens, he's going to be a good player.
Okafor better get moved because you and I bet on eating raw garlic, so...
Right. Or just stay and nobody has to do anything. But then it sucks. So I don't know. We'll see. I like having Okafor, but I think I'm okay with dropping him now.
All right. There you go. Drops, pickups. Remember last week when we were talking about the LeBron fractional Jordan conversation?
Yes.
I feel like
how many Jordans in fractions is a LeBron worth at this point?
And I feel like, by the way, that pie is obviously the crying Jordan. It's just got to be fractional. Do you ever think there'd be like a crying LeBron, or is that just LeBron as always? People just consider him crybaby LeBron.
Something. There'll be some meme with LeBron eventually.
Okay, he'll throw his
while
powder
it was
up.
His dong, right?
Yeah, throw his powder up, and it'll look like he's a cokehead or something, and everyone will be like, "Hey, look." Well, I put up a poll on our Facebook discussion group poll, facebook.com/groups/ITL Nation, and I asked, I kind of laid down what we were talking about. Then I said, if Michael Jordan is a goal, how many fractional Michael Jordans is LeBron James right now? I gave options. I said 1/4 of a Jordan, 2/4 of a Jordan, 3/4 of a Jordan equal to a full Michael Jordan, or he has surpassed and he is now a LeBron James. And then pretty much then Jordan would be a fractional LeBron James. So I gave those five options. Have you looked at this poll at all?
I voted.
Oh, okay, you did. So you might.
I voted. No, I did 3/4 of a Jordan.
All right, so I'm going to lay down how this worked out. So it looked like we had, let's see, 19, 20, about 12, I'm trying to do math, which isn't smart. Let's call it 28 votes on this. Zero people voted that LeBron James has surpassed Michael Jordan. No surprise.
Okay, good.
Yeah, that's no surprise. Also, I thought this was surprising. Not one person said that LeBron James is only a quarter Jordan, which I want to give. I think that's kudos to people.
Yeah.
I mean, the amount of hate that LeBron James holds, people will unfairly, you know, like somebody gave you kudos for going on a show and like, you know, rightfully talking about the Arizona Diamondbacks. And it was like, well, you know, we're level-headed people. Like, we know how to be reasonable.
Right.
Most people don't have to be reasonable with LeBron James. Four people said that LeBron James is equal to Michael Jordan. Four people thought he is equal to Michael Jordan at this point.
I mean, he's really good, but I don't know how you could think that.
All right. Coming in second is a 2/4 of a Jordan voted by six people. Six, maybe I did the math actually wrong here. 29 people voted. Six people voted that LeBron James is a half of a Michael Jordan right now.
Half of a Jordan. Okay, I can see that.
Overwhelmingly, the winner, what you voted for, 3/4 of a Jordan, 18 people. So, the difference between two-fourths of a Jordan and three-fourths was 6 votes to 18. 18 people said, 18 out of 29 said that LeBron James is three-fourths of a Michael Jordan right now.
I think that's the right way to go. I really do. I think, how many championships does he have now? He has three now, right?
Yeah, same amount, I believe, as Jordan at the same point in their careers.
Right, but he's been to more finals. One more MVP.
More points, more rebounds, more assists.
Right, he's a bigger part of his team, so that's why I got to say three quarters.
Goes to my argument that I think LeBron James, when all is said and done, the traditionalists will not be able to accept it, and I understand it. It happens in all sports. You know, there's so many people that wouldn't accept that Mike Piazza might have been a better, you know, catcher than Johnny Bench, but those are completely different, you know, argument.
Right.
You know what I'm saying. There will be people that will never be able to accept it, but I think it leads that LeBron James is on the trajectory to not be equal to Michael Jordan, but to surpass and be the face of basketball for the next 60 years until he has a crying meme made of him. And, you know, it's his son that's the most popular or something.
Yeah, you know what I saw the difference between Jordan and LeBron post on Facebook, and it was Jordan talking about when he won the championship against the Suns, and how you can put him in the people are putting him in the room with all the greats and all that stuff, and he's like, I'm not putting myself there, but I think that maybe I'm in the conversation or whatever he said, and then they go to LeBron. And LeBron's like, no, I'm not worried about anything because I'm the best player in the world.
Oh, come on.
And yeah, exactly. That's what I said. I was like, really? That's the difference? No gambling problem for LeBron. So,
I mean, he's LeBron James, best player. I mean, you know, when you take fantasy aside, LeBron James is, one of the
best
dominant
players in the world.
That's right. All right.
He's right.
It's not here to have that exact argument, but it was to say that a vast and large majority, what does that, come out to? I mean, it's like 60-70%.
A high percentage.
A very high percentage of math of people say that he is already at this point three-fourths of Michael Jordan right now.
Yeah, and I agree with that. I think he's right there. I think one more championship, and I understand people saying that he's just as good as short.
Don't think he can do it if he doesn't have another championship. I agree with that.
Right.
All right, there you go. Heated discussions here at In This League. We want to hear from you whether is it a hoop? Is it a goal? How many fractional Michael Jordans is LeBron James? We're covering the big issues here. But don't go anywhere. Hour two is coming up right around the corner, and Roto World's Mike Gallagher is going to be joining us. Advanced stats, trades, guys in the second half of the season you want to own, and we're going to be pitting some players up against each other in our player debate. So don't go anywhere. It's In This League. That was only hour one. Hour two coming up. We'll be right back. Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
You're listening to In This League on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Welcome back. It's hour two of In This League right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Thanks for sticking around. You can find us on Twitter at IsItTheWelsh, at Bogman Sports, and hopefully you're listening to this show on the FNTSY Radio app. If you're not, go download it. If you're listening on your computer, it's fine, but you should have the app so you can go anywhere, whether you're listening to Dan and Joe with the Fantasy Black Book.
Black. If I don't say it, I'll pass out.
Whether you're listening to Shot Callers, which is right before us, or you want to find us, make sure you got the app with you. And you can also check out the on-demand stuff at fantasysportsnetwork.com/radio. And then you can find all these shows on demand so you don't miss a moment of it. As well, inthisleague.com. That's where we have our full podcasts of every single fantasy show that we do. We've got YouTube. We got YouTube crazy shows. We've got secret shows at the ITL Army. They're all comedy-based. They are very not safe for work, very uncensored, but they're also very, very funny. This isn't necessarily, well, it's kind of a basketball topic, Bogman. Gallagher's coming up here in just a couple minutes. Did you see this thing? This is great. This is the world that we live in now. Chris Brown, you'd almost call him a boxer. Chris Brown is going to box Soulja Boy. Make sure you say it right. Soulja Boy in an actual boxing match. And Soulja Boy is being backed. Did I have this right? Soulja Boy is being backed by Floyd Mayweather, and Chris Brown is being backed by Mike Tyson. Has there ever been a pairing that's been match made in heaven of Tyson and Chris Brown, if you think about those two's past?
God, yeah, and yeah, that, and then also Soulja Boy and Floyd Mayweather. Wow. I mean,
match
Jesus.
Made in heaven. So you've heard about this ridiculous thing, dude. There's an undercard. There's an undercard to it.
It's Tim Thomas versus Kenyon Martin.
I still don't believe it. I still don't believe that former NBA players Tim Thomas and Kenyon Martin are going to compete in an undercard.
They got beef. They got to settle it.
Kenyon Martin terrifies me. He looks like someone I would never, ever talk back to. Maybe it's a tattoo.
And Tim Thomas says he's a fake tough guy.
No. I think Kenyon Martin's real. I'm not messing with him.
Yeah, I'm not messing with Tim Thomas. I got Tim Thomas. Are we betting? What are the stakes?
Okay, see, this is why I'm searching Tim Thomas. Does he scare? Nah, see, I don't know. Tim Thomas, he's got a nice smile. I'm not scared of Tim Thomas. I'm scared of Kenyon Martin. I will put money down on this. You know what I was just thinking? This is the world we live in now, where we're almost as interested in Ice Cube's basketball league of 3-on-3 where Allen Iverson's going to play, and we also just want celebrities to box. This is celebrity death match. This is fantastic. I want Ice Cube's team of Patrick Ewing and Allen Iverson to play before these matches, and then Tim Thomas and Kenyon Martin to box. And
this
then
is
Soulja Boy and Chris
Brown. Is the boxing matches?
Yeah, this is great. This is fantastic. This is
this
the best
is
thing
much
ever.
Better than dogs a kitch frisbee.
Can we bet on this? There's got to be a side. I bet Bovado is going to let you bet on this.
How about come over to Bogato and we'll bet on this. I'm going to take Tim Thomas.
I'll take Kenyon Martin. What, we want to bet something on this?
Yeah. Let's throw 10 bucks.
Yeah, 10 spot on it. All right, I got All right, let's. Yeah. I think Chris Brown is going to beat up Soulja Boy.
I got Soulja Boy in there. I just can't root for.
Okay, so then we got. Well, I mean, I don't want to root for him. All right, so 10 on that too.
Yeah, 10 on that too.
Oh, look at us. We're gambling.
$20 at stake.
Yeah, we're gambling off of real life issues in the world of. I mean, this. Okay, what's going to be more watchable? Either one of these or the Ronda Rousey fight?
Oh, man. I think these will, not because they're better. I mean, obviously, you have more skill in the Rousey fight, but they're going to last longer than 43 seconds. If Rousey just went to the ground, she would have been fine.
Who's the chick that Rousey fought? What's her name again?
Amanda Nunes.
Amanda Nunes could beat the holy hell out of any of these four that are going to be boxing.
Well, sure, but I mean,
Nunez.
I would take
Chris
Kenyon
Brown
Martin
down.
Versus Amanda Nunez. I would take Kenyon Martin versus Amanda Nunez because Kenyon Martin's 6'8", 6'9".
Well, but you're going to take Tim Thomas over Kenyon Martin.
Yeah, I would take Tim Thomas over Amanda Nunez too. You got to think of weight classes.
I don't think it matters. Amanda Nunez, she's terrifying.
Okay, but just think of this. You've never boxed in your life, have you? For real? I don't mean you put on boxing gloves. I mean in a ring, sparred for real.
No.
Okay. I bet if you went in and you fought a straw weight of 110 pounds, if Moro was a professional boxer, our buddy,
I would destroy him.
Yes, and you've never had any professional fighting.
Oh, I see where you're going with this. Yeah, but Nunez,
the weight class.
She might be in the same weight class as Tim Thomas, though. That was correct. I mean, it's debatable here. Can you agree that Nunez would absolutely destroy Chris Brown or Soulja Boy?
Yeah, 100%.
All right, at least we agree on that. All right, I'm curious to hear what you think. I think I got two winning cards here. I'm going to make some money here. When is this match happening? Do we know?
No idea. I have no idea.
All right, well, I want front row seats. I want to be a part of this. We're going to cover this. Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Make sure to send us over there. We're ready for it. All right, coming up here, we got Mike Gallagher from Roto World. We're going to be covering a whole bunch of fantasy basketball stuff from his mind, and that is a crazy place to be. He's one of the best in the industry. Basketball players are hitting him up on Twitter. See, he's got a good little report. With CJ McCollum. So don't go anywhere. Other side of this break, it's Mike Gallagher from Roto World right here on In This League on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
You're listening to In This League on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Week 12, and the man, the myth, the legend, he does join us. Yes, it is Mike S. Gallagher. That's a Twitter handle. Roto World. That's the home. But Mike Gallagher right here. It's the voice. Mike, what's up, brother? Joining us for Week 12 Talk.
The home.
We are the home. We are the home of the best fantasy voices in the world, and you are one of them, Mike. Maybe the leader.
The 37, all you guys.
We keep it 37. We keep it 37. What the hell's going on, dude?
Kids about 100. 37, for sure.
37?
I've got a very serious question for you.
Let's get into business.
Yeah, this is business right away, before anything, because one of our listeners tweeted you this, and we talked about this at the beginning of the episode. Is it a basketball hoop or a basketball goal?
I call it neither, actually.
What do you call it?
I just call it a basket or a rim.
Call it a rim job?
Yeah, what?
I said basket. That's what I said.
But basket's fine. Okay, I will accept basket as hoop.
But preferably, I would call it a goal.
No! No, you wouldn't. Why would you call it a goal? Why?
It's a whole bag of worms.
Explain to me why this is. Because I saw Steve said the same thing, and then you said it, but then you were like, but I don't even call it that. Why would you call it a basketball goal?
Field goals.
No, damn
that's
it.
The only reason, though, is because of field goals.
That's it. Period. I mean, it's a good argument, though.
Damn it!
I mean, it's an argument. You know,
it's a sound one. I mean,
field goals, doesn't the vernacular feel better saying a hoop? Like, if you were explaining to somebody, you're like, "Hey, look at that thing over there. What is that?" You're gonna say that's a basketball goal.
Yeah,
or basketball hoop.
Like, he didn't convert a field basket. He converted a field goal. So,
but what was that's a measurement. Thing they threw the balls through.
But field goal is a measurement, and we're talking about the object.
Not a measurement.
But you wouldn't say like, hey, let's go shoot some goals.
True.
You're like, hey, Mike, you want to go shoot some goals after the game? No, let's go shoot some hoops.
But I'm saying it's how it's registered, though. It's a goal. It's a basket. It's a goal. Like, you go for the goal, man. Like, I don't know.
Damn
I've
it.
Never heard one announcer ever call it a goal.
Joe Buck would call it a goal. I guarantee that.
Well, like I said, I don't call it either, but if I had to pick of the two, I would say that one.
God.
You would say goal over hoop?
No, I'd rather call it a rim or a basket because I call it a basket.
I me prefer too. Basket as well. Okay, so
it's kind of a moot argument to me, but
it's done. Then everybody with your argument, it is not a hoop, it is not a goal, it is a basket. Yes. End of story. All right. Well, you can find Mike on Twitter at Mike S. Gallagher. Have you been chatting up CJ McCollum lately? We were just talking about this earlier. He just went off when Dame was out, and I know you've chatted up with him recently. Have you chatted up with CJ at all most recently?
Only recently when the Blazers got postponed.
Oh yeah.
We had added each other a little bit, and he was not happy about not getting his nap. he needs his pregame nap. But, CJ is money, man. I love CJ.
I know. He's the man. Okay, we were just making sure. What's going on over at Roto World? You doing the 1,000 podcasts a day that you guys do. You are a madman. Also churning out all the good content, right?
Always, man. We got the Monday season long. We got the Wednesday DFS, Friday and Saturday, man. It's always doing things and usual stuff on the board action.
And Steve's going to inaugurations and Colts games and all
right?
that. I know. He's like highbrowing with all the people. He was like, I can't make the pod. I got to go hang with Jim Irsay. And we were like, oh, okay.
Seriously, man.
All right,
where's my owner's box at, man?
Yeah, well, we're sitting over here arguing about goals and hoops, and he's out sitting there with multimillionaires. What can we do? I don't know. All right.
Well. The escort to the stadium, police escort. That was awesome.
That'd be
pretty cool. We'll talk about Spaceballs and Caddyshack and whatever else.
whatever Steve gets into. All right, well, let's get into this. We got a lot to cover. There's a lot happening and a lot going down right now. Obviously, you can catch all of Mike's happenings on his podcast or the Roto World Basketball Podcast. Do that, but it's always fun when we can rap for a little bit and cover what's on all of our brains and trying to decipher. I mean, we've already if you learn nothing else from this podcast, you know that you can give someone the middle finger if they say goal or hoop because it's now a basket. We've deciphered that. That is a finality. That's a fact. Let's get down to some more facts. The Nuggets are shopping the whole team. Everything is for sale. It's a fire sale. Jurkic, Fareed, Chandler, Gallo. We talked earlier. We both think, I think Fareed and Gallo probably hold value on new teams, though they could come a plus. Chandler seems to be a guy that also, maybe he's the most trade like value proof. But what do you think? If Nurkic is set to a new team, do you think his value jumps up? Do any of these guys' value jump up or down, not even knowing the team, but if they leave Denver?
Yeah, Nurkic definitely gains value for sure, because he and also Fareed as well. Nurkic and Fareed are fighting for that backup center spot. Malone loves to play Wilson Chandler at the four. He plays Darrell Arthur at the four. He plays Gallinari at the four. Like, those guys are basically fighting for the minutes behind Nikola Jokic, who is not giving up his minutes, which is like the hot topic nowadays. But yeah, if you have a nugget, like there's, and all those guys we said, besides and the big men anyways, I think they gain value on a trade. But ugh, yeah, I'm not excited to stats either, to be honest. Like, it's just, I don't know, their upside's not that. What's their upside? If they get traded, they're going to be traded as a backup. So,
do you think all of them is that case? I think Gallo could move into a similar role going somewhere else. Fareed worries me a bit. Wilson Chandler does worry me, I guess, a tiny bit. But Nurkic seems like the one. I did pick him up in multiple leagues, but it's not fair to say because those are 16 man. I picked him up where I could, and he was already owned. He's not available in a single league that I play in. Nurkic seems like the type of guy that you speculate and you try to go own if you're in a 12 man.
I don't know, man. He was playing really poorly before this whole renaissance, I guess, in the last week or so. So I wouldn't be excited to own him.
But you got to get ahead of the renaissance. You got to get ahead because you're going to miss it because you're right about this.
Where can they go? Where can those guys go?
Right. They're going to go as a backup. I mean, no one's going to be like, oh, I need Joseph Nurkic as my top center.
There's no place where you think like they go. Yeah, no place like home. There's no place where they can go and get more effective minutes, not Toronto.
Or be efficient to who they are. I mean, Nurkic was 11-10 on Saturday, 7-6, blah, 16-6-4, 15-6-4. His last four games, like you called it, the renaissance, he's kind of a little bit back to returning that value, averaging about like 22, 23 minutes a game. He can get that somewhere else, but maybe he's going to have a higher usage.
Right. Well, the usage hasn't been a problem with him. The problem with him has been efficiency, and that's why he's been so bad, man. I mean, you look at his per game numbers, and he's like not even on the board for like top 200.
Yeah,
like he's just so bad because his efficiency kills people. So I don't know, man. Like, I get picking him up just because if Fareed goes, then maybe if you pick up Nurkic, you're basically saying like, okay, I need Fareed to get traded. So
what if Nurkic got traded to, like, we were talking about this earlier, like a Portland? What if Portland ended up swooping in and getting a guy like Nurkic?
He's in a worse spot.
You think he's in a worse spot?
For sure, worse spot.
See, I don't know if I agree with that. I don't think I agree with that. I think that would be a little bit more of a positive with what they're doing.
He'll have a lower usage.
I think wherever he goes, it's better just for an answer. I don't know if it's better. I don't know if it's better for him to, you know, to be more effective. I think I do lean with the Welsh. I think that it has to be better for him. But at least if he gets moved, we'll have an answer, because he'll either be the same guy or he'll be much improved and much more useful on a new team instead of doing this up and down crap that he's doing in Denver.
Right. Well, I'm saying because of Fareed being traded, like Fareed being traded is the key.
You think that Nurkic value all goes up only if Fareed gets moved and Nurkic stays?
Right.
Okay.
That's pretty much it. I think that he holds more value if Fareed gets traded than wherever else he would go, which I think is the most likely scenario. So with that, I mean, if he gets 20 minutes and he plays well, which we've seen him do in spurts very sporadically, then I'm cool with him. But
so you and Nurkic are you broken up?
Yeah,
you've broken up with Nurk.
I'm
there's not, no more Nurk alert. It's gone. It's on.
Yeah,
hold.
I'm pretty much off him for sure, man. He's so bad around the rim. I can't take it, man. Like, if you're a big man, finish around the rim. So I don't really feel Nurk anymore. I was on him for like a month, but
yeah, I mean, in the preseason he looked a lot. He looked real good. So. For sure. We got a lot of hype out of him, but so Gallo, Chandler, those are pretty much going to be lateral moves wherever they go.
No, I would say they're all decreased, man.
Yeah, I think Chandler is a big one that gets decreased because now more. But I think he becomes a role player. If any of these guys became a quote unquote role player, I feel like that would be Chandler.
I just don't think Chandler just doesn't do that much. He shoots threes, he scores points, he'll get you a board and an assist every once in a while. Maybe he does go down because he doesn't handle the ball as much. I just don't know how much of a giant hit it's going to be if Chandler gets moved.
I don't think he's in a great spot right now.
Yeah, he is. He goes
off the bench, but I don't really see how where he gets traded is any better than where he is.
Okay, so let's talk.
Malone loves him.
Yeah, I know. Which was weird to see him come up in those conversations. So let's talk about then the core that's there, because the inadvertent trade talk, we had kind of talked about, you know, hey, if Tyson Chandler gets, he was rumored with the Trailblazers. So, you know, let's say he goes and gets moved. It immediately opens up, makes Marquise Chris more valuable, Alex Len more valuable, maybe even Bender at, you know, in the early stages. The same effect happens here. If you get, let's just for argument's sake, say Chandler, Fareed, and Gallo gone, maybe Nurkic stays. Where are the positive, what positive core comes out of Denver? Is Moutier better? Is Will Barton back on the scene? Is there any positives in the new Gary in the Harris. Denver team? Yeah, Gary Harris, is that better? Jamal Murray? Who do you like as a fantasy second half guy if any of these moves happen?
Well, I mean, if Chandler gets traded, then you have to have Alex Len, period. And he's probably, of all these guys we talked about, is by far the best stash of anyone we've even talked about.
Oh, yeah, but how about in Denver? But Denver, particularly.
Right, okay, you used to Tyson Chandler.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like, it's tough because they play so many different positions. They put, as a matter of fact, they put Hernan Gomez in there, and they played Gallo at the two the other day. They're just playing so many different positions. So, they're going to play Arthur Moore. They're going to play Gallimore if he stays in the team. Jamal Murray, like, they have all. Mike Mullen doesn't play around with position versatility, so it's really tough to say who the clear winner is. But if I'm stashing in a deep league, I would give a look on Hernan Gomez and Murray, I guess. Probably Hernan Gomez first. But, it's tough to say, man. I won't pick up Jarrell Arthur because he's hurt so damn much.
If Gallo was traded, real quick, just for argument's sake, let's say it's like a lateral move. Gallo is traded. Would you rather want Gallo on new said team or Gary Harris in his role in Denver?
Gary Harris.
I agree. Okay. That's where I wanted to see if we were on the same page on that.
Yeah, Gallo's hurt too much, man.
Okay. Yeah, I agree with that. What about Chris Middleton, Gallagher? There's talk now that he might be back just after the All-Star break. Are you buying that? And are you stashing him if you can, if that's the case?
Well, I have him in our industry 30 man, which I'm in first place, by the way.
No big deal.
Yep.
So I'm hoping he comes back, but he's doing work, man. He's doing some on-court stuff, not doing contact yet, but he's coming around. So I think that March 1st target date's realistic. So if you think that a March 1st target date optimistically is helpful for your team, for a guy who you guys know, we would love this guy. We had him like top 20, right?
Love.
Right.
So, I mean, yeah, if you think you can stash that guy, then go for it. I mean, obviously, Tony Snell's not going to hold him back. Malcolm Brogdon's been playing point guard. Like, they need another shooting guard. So, yeah, I'm cool with stashing him. Like, again, only if you can afford it. I mean, it's total luxury. If you're in last place, then, yeah, Middleton's not your guy. But, yeah, I'm... it's tough, man. I mean, this is a legit injury, so.
Okay, right, so let me ask you this then, because a funny thing happened on Twitter. I almost asked this question. I was like, nah, I won't. And then I saw it on Twitter where someone said, we like to call him Brogdon, by the way, Brogdon versus LaVert. And you were like, I'm not deciding between them.
I will never.
Okay, but there. Knowing this, knowing new that Chris Middleton, debate. Yeah, new player debate, boom, right here. Knowing Chris Middleton could come back, you would have to think that it's going to affect the Brogdon. What would your mind change there? Would you think?
Not a lot, man. Not a lot.
Okay, then who do you pick? I'm making you decide now.
Wait, so rephrase it for like season long fantasy?
Yeah, season long fantasy this season.
The would you rather have Brogdon or
LaVert? Yeah.
Oh, Brogdon. It's no question. It's Brogdon, man.
Okay.
No
question. But you're on LaVert this season.
LaVert's my boy.
Okay. He should be following you on Twitter, by the way.
I am Mr. LaVert.
Is he going to be CJ McCollum next year for you?
Isn't he already?
Okay. Is he following you? He should be following you on Twitter. Cool. We need to make a change on him.
Have you slid into his DMs yet?
I have not, and I may have to.
All right, well, get in there. Get in there, Gallagher. All right, so I agree with you on everything you said on Middleton, especially if you have the IL spot.
Can we talk more LaVert?
Yeah, talk us up on LaVert real quick. I'm going to give you the table real quick to talk about your boy.
All right, so I am a big fan of team long striders. Guys who just have long strides to the hoop, on just dribbling guys with long strides to pump myself up.
Yeah,
everywhere.
The goal.
Everywhere. Yeah, no. The basket.
The basket, yeah. Bogman, get it right. We called it the basket.
But I was on Paul George's a long strider, Giannis is a long strider, LeBron's a long strider, LaVert's a long strider. Long striders, dude, get on it. I think LaVert's going to be big time, and it's only a matter of time before freaking Joe Harris is starting and Bohan Bogdanovic is starting, who's been really bad lately. So LaVert's going to start. LaVert's going to ball out. He's playing some point guard lately. Yeah, I love Caris LaVert, man. Efficient.
Team LaVert.
Yes, LaVertical.
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 LaVertical. Yes. Jesus Christ, Gallagher. You're so good with that stuff.
Sources tell LaVertical.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
Yes, I've thought about this before. You know this.
That's so good. Where is he in line with must own? Like, what? Give me the lines of where he has to be on.
I mean, you have to be. I picked him up in the leagues that we're in together, obviously. But,
yeah, you SOB.
Pretty close, dude. I mean, I love this guy, man. Efficiency. He can do a lot of stuff. His low turnovers. He can shoot the three. I mean, if this guy stays healthy, man, he's going to be big time.
Okay, so this is a dynasty more pick for you.
More so, yeah, but I mean, you love to have guys that are on bad teams that have a lot of opportunity.
You know what this sounds like to me? This sounds like Gorgui Dieng 2 years ago, where it was that second half where it was like you just were so, everyone was just so excited about him, but he just wasn't in the place where he could ooh and awe you with the stats, and it was a year too early. Then the next year,
too much Pekovic in front of him, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's almost what it kind of sounds like, but he's just still too raw in the tooth for him to get that full run. But this is somebody you're putting your hat on for sure.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying he's going to break out for sure, but I mean, the guy is so efficient. He has such great tools. He's playing, you know me, I love guys to play multiple positions. He's playing three positions already. It's a rookie season. He just looks so good, man. We talked on my podcast on Monday saying, like, him versus the other kind of rookies that are kind of on the upswing, Dragan Bender, for instance. And we were like, yeah, man, give me LaVert. I think LaVert's going to kill, man. He plays in the fastest offense in the NBA. Like, there's just so much to like. The Nets are going to probably trade guys. It's just a great, great spot for him to blow up.
I like it. Let's just call him Sources. That should be his nickname, Sources. And people have to piece together the vertical.
I like that.
I want to flip it here because this is definitely something you've become known for, and I think it's a badge of honor. Is you're definitely, in the best term we can call it, advanced stats in basketball. You know, I mean, baseball people would assume fan graphs. But you've always jumped into the, you know, the usage rates. You've liked the pairings, you know, the team pairings. pairings of this player playing with this player. So what's your thing right now? What's your favorite thing? What are you most excited to look at? I mean, I know it's always usages, but is it, you know, productive lineups that have surprised, that, you know, it's caught your eye, lack of usage from a specific player, like using advanced stats? It could be an actual stat itself as well. Like, what is exciting you right now using those type of things? Is there a player that stands out? I remember you were on and we talked about how Embiid was like top five in usage in the entire NBA early on in the season. So talk to me about that.
Yeah, I love usage, and I always love lineup combinations. Really, the Brogdon thing has been kind of my go-to stat, because he and Giannis have been so damn killer in the past pretty much month of the season. They're so much better on the court together than separate. So that leads you to believe that Brogdon should start with Giannis, and that's probably my go-to stat. Other ones
send
are
it to Jason Kidd.
Yeah, please.
Right? Yeah. Are you guys Brogdon guys or what?
No, I am. Oh, I am. Yeah. I'm a Brogdon guy, big time right now.
Yeah,
I like him. I just don't like Jason Kidd. So
can you get Jason Kidd to follow you on Twitter, Mike, so you could get in his DMs and do good by the world?
No, right. I will not. I will never follow Jason Kidd, so I'm not.
Right, just checking. All right, continue.
But yeah, what else is there? The other one is Kelly Oubre. It's probably my favorite like lineup combination thing. I think among the non-starting lineups, the Kelly Oubre in, Markieff Morris out lineup is killer, man. It's like one of the best lineups in the NBA. So I think they need to do that more often. And then, yeah, you guys know the drill. I mean, DeMarcus is a beast on usage. Joel Embiid's, obviously. I freaking love that guy, man.
Yeah,
hashtag. Have you guys seen what Embiid has done on Twitter, man? Like, that guy has the most dope Twitter game of all
time.
He's
the king. I
saw
love
him
the guy.
Up Mia Khalifa today.
Yeah, oh, man. Lock it down, man. Lock it down. I tweeted at Joel. I'm like, come on. I'm like, come on the show. We'll do a whole Rihanna poll. We'll just pull you for Rihanna. That's all that we'll do. I know that's the whole All-Star thing. That was who was like, get to the All-Star game and we'll talk. And I love the process. He's top three favorite player in the NBA right now, and I don't know how it'll change.
Just three.
I mean, he might be the top. He might be the top.
The Celtics were chanting trust the process the other day in Boston. Yeah. The fans were chanting.
And in Brooklyn today.
If you could own one jersey right now, GA, Westbrook, or Embiid, who would you own?
Trust the process, sir.
Bogman, who would you own?
Harden.
F off. You had to pick one of those three.
Harden.
I would pick Embiid.
You're the worst. I think I would pick Embiid or GA, because I'm so enamored with GA. But like, I feel like if I wore an Embiid, this is the difference between all those guys. I could wear Westbrook or I could wear GA, and you know, I just walk along. If I wore Embiid, I feel like that's like it's like a group. It's a cult. Like, you walk by and someone would like give you the nod. Like, you know how stupid guys when their motorcycles drive by and they do like the little like hand signal thing to other motorcyclers. I feel like that's Embiid. Like, I'd walk by and someone would have an Embiid jersey on. I would too, and we'd be like, "What's up?
Cool. What's up?
You're in your own gang. It's the Embiid gang.
Yeah, the process."
Yeah.
The process gang.
No, I have one, and I have this is in Arizona, and people don't recognize it, man.
You have an Embiid jersey?
I have the process jersey and a Embiid t-shirt.
Awesome.
It's the process.
Dude,
posse.
Fully, you guys don't know.
I know. Well, you didn't come out to the Rockets game. You didn't come out to the Rockets Suns game with us. We would have known.
I know. Next I should have worn my process.
All right,
you guys. But
what about?
He's legit.
Yeah, he is.
What about Gallagher? For teams that are tanking, give us just a couple of some young players that you would target in a trade, like maybe a Jaylen Brown, obviously Caris LeVert, Jamal Murray, Ingram, Marquise Chris. Like, who are some of those guys? Give me your top three young guns you would trade if fantasy dynasty teams are tanking and they want to add somebody young that's going to be good in a year or two.
For sure, Caris LeVert. Which I have already said.
Your bag.
My boy, yep. And then I would probably go Dragan Bender number two. The Suns have been playing pretty well, but I don't really see them making a charge. So I like him a lot. And then I guess you have to go Marquise Chris, because I really don't see any other talent that you can pick up.
No Jaylen Brown?
Nah. Boston's good.
Does this hold for redraft as well, by the way? Is like what you just said, is this a good second half of this season? Is that list stay the same? The guys that you just named, like if those guys are all like kind of dynasty pickups, you know, guys people try to go pick up.
Oh, okay.
Would these guys also be like in a redraft league, second half type of players you would try to acquire? Would that order stay the same?
I guess. I mean, Jaylen Brown's in a really bad spot right now. The only thing is, which is possible because Boston's really going to go for it this year. They may make a trade. So I guess I would maybe put Jaylen Brown ahead of Bender because I think Jaylen Brown's a better player. But after that, I don't know. Like, I would definitely rather have LeVert. I mean, I think the Nets are screwed. So I think that he's in a good spot. So
LeVert mania is going to go bonkers here. I just want you to know. People are going to go nuts about this.
Dude, searches tell the vertical. That's my brand, man.
Everyone's going to want sources and the process on their team. It's gonna be
I had no idea that you had children with all of your dad jokes.
They're great
jokes.
The vertical's my boy.
No, Gallagher's top notch.
Your baby. We get it.
Yeah, this is all right.
Dude, look it up.
Yeah, no, I believe you. Quick game here. This is buy or sell. I'm going to give you a player with a specific area. You tell me if you're buying it or you're selling it. First one, Buddy Hield, top 100 player rest of season. Buy or sell?
Sell. Emphatically. No way.
Okay. James Johnson, rest of season, is a 12-man must own. Buy or sell?
Absolute buy.
Tyler Johnson, top 3-point guard for your fantasy team. I didn't want to put like a number necessarily, but assume he can be the third point guard on your fantasy team. Rest of season, buy or sell?
So top 36 point guard.
Yeah. Sure.
Easily buy. I think he's going to be top 20.
Love it. That's nice. Bold. Harry B, top 50 player rest of season. Buy or sell?
Sell.
You're selling Harry B.
Selling Harry B.
That's your boy. All right.
Gotta be done.
Wait, what? Harry B is my boy?
Wasn't Harry B? Harry B was your boy in the preseason.
Preseason, he was definitely your boy.
Was he?
Yeah, you were talking up to Harry B. Not like, you know, over crazy. Not crazy, but he was someone that
you didn't
we were
give
targeting.
Him a funny nickname or anything.
Yeah, I mean, he's not the vertical.
Like him.
Yeah, the low vertical.
Good show.
All right, last one. Brogdon, top 75 player rest of season.
75? Can I like just?
That's why it's tough. It's tough. Quizzes are tough, man. Buy or sell?
75's high, dude.
Too high?
Little bit, man. I would say if he said 90, I would say buy. I think he's in that 75-90 range.
Okay, so you're selling?
I guess I'm selling.
All right, I was trying to coerce you to be like, nah, I'm buying.
All right, those are great questions that we have with Mike, but we are going to go to our famous player debates next, and I did them again, so you know they're going to be fantastic because the Welsh didn't do them, and you can hear those right after this break on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Don't go away. Stick around. Learn to make.
You're listening to In This League on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Gentlemen, player debates. We should go back at some point. I won't do it. Maybe Bogman will, but I'll bet you Gallagher has done more player debates than any other guest on this show. That's fair to say, isn't it? Easy, right?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, and he never took Tony Roden in any of them.
No, he wasn't like Dr. A and me. Okay. First one up here.
Turnovers, man.
Yeah, that's the only reason to not take Tony Roten over. This is funny that we're doing this one because we've kind of done this before, but I love that you did it.
I picked this one specifically for Gallagher.
And I love that you did it per our conversation that of what Bogman pulled out when he did the stats, you know, 22 points was equal to a block. First one is Miles Turner versus the secret word of the day, Nikola Jokic. Rest of season value. What do you think, Gallagher?
I'm actually not going to say. You guys can go first.
Okay, we can go first.
I will go first. Me and you guys first.
All right, Bogman, you got to go first because I asked a question.
All right. We know that Jokic has gotten better after his awful start, but Turner has also moved up since the beginning of the season. Turner is 12. Jokic is 17 over the last month. They're both, you know, first round, border first round type of guys. These guys do a lot of the same stuff: points, rebounds, steals, free throw, turnovers, threes. They're all razor thin to small enough to not have a big edge in either one. The big differences are the field goal percentage. Jokic over the last month, 65.5%. Miles Turner, 53.9. Assists also go to Jokic, 5.4 to 0.9. But blocks, Turner is 2.6 to 0.6. I'm going to take Turner because of the scarcity of blocks. I don't think Jokic can keep up this pace. So at the end of the day, it's blocks versus assists for me. Jokic has been getting in foul trouble too. Malone's been talking about that. You're really splitting hairs, but I'm going to go with the stat scarcity and take the blocks.
All right.
I'm going to go with Miles Turner.
I'll jump in here because I do think people should think about what we talked about before. And it was always obvious, the scarcity of blocks. That's never been up for debate. But, you know, when Bogman took a random day and kind of laid it out how we saw it, I think it puts a different perspective on it. Now, I am very comfortable. Like, we'll do a segment in a couple weeks here where we've hit, you know, like maybe near the All-Star game, where we'll look back and we will definitely be wrong about Jokic. Like, he's just been awesome. Like, we're definitely wrong about him, like, in the major questioning of it. He has been elite over the last 30 days. He's been 13 overall. Miles Turner has been 18. I love the assists, the rebounds, the points. It's so good looking with the percentages. They're so sexy. But, man, he is what I called him weeks ago. He's Blake Griffin. He's Blake Griffin. No steals, no blocks. Get you sexy assists from a big man, good rebounds, good points, good percentages. He's Blake Griffin. And when I'm looking at these two players, I think they're in their equals. All I'm sacrificing here is assist to get blocks. And I will do that all day because I probably, me personally, with teams that I own, I got lots of assists all over the place. I would rather have the blocks, which are a full two block difference between these two players. Jokic is still the man. We were wrong about that. But I'm going to take Miles Turner taking the blocks over the assists. Are you going to break this up, Gallagher? Will you go with us or are you going to go with the Jokic?
Dude, you guys know who my boy is in the preseason, right?
Oh, yeah. These are your guy. Turner. I mean, Turner was like your guy of guy, and I got to give you major credit.
Yes, Turner was my guy.
Absolutely.
Clearly. So, yeah.
But you didn't have him ranked as high as you ranked Jokic, though, did you?
I did not.
But and rightfully so, Gallagher backed off the Jokic just a tiny bit. So are you going Are you going Turner here?
To your credit, like you said, man, I backed off Jokic at the end. So, yeah, man, it's Turner for sure.
Yeah, baby. Let's talk about it. Okay, so you're with it. You like the blocks over. I mean, what do you think about my statement? Am I crazy to say that Jokic is just a white Blake Griffin?
His percentages are better.
That's harsh.
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, Jokic's percentages are better.
I shouldn't have called him white. I know. I'm sorry. But he's essentially the same numbers as Blake Griffin.
He's one of the most efficient players in the NBA. But, it's got to be Turner, man. It really does. I mean, this guy is just incredible on blocks, efficient. You don't really get to see guys who can shoot 70% from the line, 50% from the field, and block two shots a game when he's third in the NBA in blocks. Turner. It's easy, Turner, man.
Can I ask you guys a question real quick?
Yeah.
No. Okay.
Here. Where did Miles Turner go to college?
Oh, Jesus Christ. I wish he went to Oklahoma.
Where would you draft Turner? What's a better question? I mean, where would you draft Turner then? Second turn?
I think he could be first turn.
First turn, no.
I mean, not. He's got to keep it up for the rest of the year.
Gobert or Turner?
I'd probably take Gobert, actually.
I would take Gobert as well.
That one's really close. I think I would take Turner because we've seen him take a jump both years.
You know
right
what?
Now. So,
you
know, third year.
Where people took Jokic, I wouldn't kill them next year for taking Turner. I don't think I would take Jokic still because
I flip him.
Yeah, I think Jokic should go 25 to 35 next year, and he's awesome. But I think Turner goes ahead, and I think Turner.
Yeah.
I'd love to get him at, like, you know, in the 30s or something like that. But if you took him 25, I'm not going to kill anybody. Yeah, there you go.
Dude, Bigman can make free throws, man, all day.
Yeah, for real.
What about this one, Gallagher? And we'll start with you, since you're not in love with either one of these guys that I know of. I know you liked Fournier before most people did, but you know what else is new? You like guys before anybody else does because you know more than anybody else. Evan Fournier versus Wilson Chandler for the rest of the season in value. What do you think?
Don't Google for sure, dude. Yeah, don't even look that up,
it.
Man.
I did it. And yeah,
that's not even close, man. Yeah, by about if we were drafting, I would say they have about a 3.5-4 round differential. Like it's pretty easy for me, man. I'm not
over the season. They're close, but over the last
I think Chandler's gonna trend down hard. He peaked early, man. So if you have Wilson Chandler on your team, man, trade that man right now. That's how I feel.
Yeah, and I mean, I would jump in and just say it's easy Fournier for me too. I mean, I've like owned Wilson Chandler every year for like 5 years for whatever reason. He's there. He's always been a guy I've had, and he'll have those runs, you know, some rebounds, some assists. But I agree, the percentages are not great. When he leaves Denver, it's going to be bad. Fournier is not quite in the stuff and things area. It's funny, when you look at his numbers, I actually see more like he looks like a DeMar DeRozan to me right now, like 3 rebounds, 3 assists, almost 20 points. I expect more in the stuff and things department from him, but I'm going to go Fournier. This is a pretty simple one to me. What about you, Boggs?
It's also not close to me. I'm easily taking Fournier, but the reason I put it on here is because we're in trade season and some people are going to go straight to overall ranks. And they're neck and neck in overall ranks. But Fournier is way better than Wilson Chandler, and everybody needs to know that.
Yeah, I agree with that one. Last one here. This is an interesting
one. My garbage one that you hate.
Yeah. There's always a garbage one that I give Bogman crap about. But this is an interesting one, though, because these are two, at this point, garbage players, with one of them being rumored to go to the other guy's team. And we're talking about Brandon Knight and Darren Collison. The Suns, Earl Watson has just come out and said Brandon Knight doesn't fit, and he's gone. I've guaranteed it. Brandon Knight will be traded. He does not fit this team. It's not going to happen.
Or are you going to eat something gross if it doesn't happen? What was
no,
it?
No, that's our Nerlens Noel. Gallagher, we have a bet. If Nerlens Noel is traded, I have to eat raw garlic like LeBron did. If Jahlil Okafor is traded, Bogman has to eat raw garlic, because I think Okafor is traded, not Noel.
Wait, you guys don't like garlic?
Garlic raw is disgusting. Raw garlic. Like a raw piece of garlic.
I've had that before. It's not bad.
It's awful. Oh, my God. LeBron lost the bet and did it.
I
like garlic,
but I know I'm going to have to take, like, you know, 3 heartburn pills.
I'm going to just die. Gallagher will be co-hosting this with us.
I'm down for this. Hook me up, man. I'm down to do that.
What side are you on? What side are you on? Okafor or Noel gets traded? Which one?
Okay, so are you asking who should get traded?
No, who's going to get traded? I believe Okafor will be traded. He believes Noel.
Think both of them get?
No, I'm saying that who I think should and who I think will get traded is the same.
Who is it?
Okay.
Okay, and I think that is Jahlil Okafor.
Yeah.
They need help, man, and it's pretty clear. The past 3 or 4 games, they've actually played really well. In the last 4 games they played together, they have a plus 33 net rating with Noel and Okafor together, and I think 33 minutes, something like that, 32, something along those lines. So they've had success with that lineup. Meanwhile, the Embiid and Okafor lineup has been a disaster, complete disaster. So it makes sense, man. I mean, Embiid is just so good around the rim, and Okafor cannot do I almost cursed.
You can do that.
I call myself. So it makes sense to just get him out of there, man.
So now Bogman has to eat two pieces of raw garlic if this happens.
I don't have to do anything.
Yeah, man.
Well, you got to eat one. The bet's the bet. You got to eat one piece.
Yeah,
but
the,
now,
the bet's the bet. Right.
All right.
Yeah.
I think you should eat two now.
Also, I just want to remind you, nothing has happened yet.
Yeah.
So I don't have to do anything until it does happen. The West.
I know. I'm just saying when it happens.
Already acting like he's won this bet.
When it happens, you'll have to eat two pieces.
I mean, if someone says, hey, I'll give you 10 times the price of Okafor, or you know what I mean, but
yeah. Well, let's get back to this. We went on because we got on our bet here. let's get back to Knight and Collison. Both of these guys, they're not working out. They both seem like trade candidates here. They are shells of who they used to be. So this leads us to the debate of which one would you rather have rest of season, Knight or Collison, Bogman? And then I'll go, and then we'll end with Mike.
This one is really, do you trust Collison to regain some momentum, or do you think Brandon Knight will be traded a place where he'll be better utilized, or the whole Bledsoe injury history thing? I'm a Knight guy, but I got to think that Collison is a much easier fix. We have no idea where Knight will get traded, if he gets traded, because they said they're going to trade him before, and it didn't happen. So I got to take Darren Collison, and the coaches have even told him to be more aggressive, and I think over the last three or four games, he's been much better. So for me, it's easy. I'm taking Darren Collison over Brandon Knight.
Man, see, I feel odd about that because I'm leaning Brandon Knight, even though he's been garbage. I mean, I like the assists that I'm getting from Collison, but I don't know. I'm worried Collison's just, like, lost, and I'm worried he's going the route. See, what I feel like it's happening is he's going the route of who Brandon Knight is right now, and I believe Brandon Knight needs to go to a team to recapture the Brandon Knight that we used to know when he was with the Bucks. And I had speculated, like, what if he went to Chicago? He could be more him. I'm gonna say Brandon Knight, and I don't feel good about it. And Collison has been the better player. I'm gonna go Brandon Knight. What do you think, Gallagher? You set us straight here.
Dude, way off, but way off, Welsh, man. Yeah, it's easily Collison. Collison's playing very, very well right now. His last five, 17.2 points, 3.2 assists, almost a steal, 54% from the field, 1.3 threes. He's playing extremely well, hasn't missed a free throw, man. It's easily Collison, clearly trending up. They're playing a lot of that two-point guard lineup. Yeah, if I have Collison on my team, and I know he was a little disappointing, but he's trending up hard, man.
Where I have more shares of Collison than anybody, by the way. I have more shares of Collison than Knight. I feel like I'm jaded, and I feel like Knight is at complete rock bottom.
Right.
But
where can Knight go, Gallagher, to bring him up to Collison's level?
I don't know. Okay. Like, where is he going to go?
Chicago? Honestly. What about Chicago?
Yeah, I guess, but what would he be, the fourth wheel? I mean,
yeah, but I want him to return to being the stuff and things point guard. I don't need him to score 25 points a night. Sure. I need him to get back to being a complete point guard, which he's not in Phoenix. He's not only is he playing off the ball, he's like the fourth option off the ball. Chicago will give him a chance to be on the ball, and he can be more stuff and things. I get what you're saying. It's just I felt like for 3 years we've been like, this is it with Collison. This is the year, and it's never the year. Like, Brandon Knight had the year, and then he's just been bad in bad situations. You guys are probably right. It probably is Collison. I guess it's just like two heaping piles of garbage, and I'm just like, well, I'm going to go with this other one over here, because I think Collison is at his peak. I do not think Knight is, but I probably am wrong here.
I'm not as emphatic as Gallagher is, but
yeah, I'm pretty emphatic about it.
Until Knight gets moved, you know, I do think that Knight could get moved to a great situation and bring his value way up. Like I said, I'm a Knight guy. So I really want him to get moved and be in a better situation for himself. I just don't know if it'll happen and where it is.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
I'm with you. His value's at rock bottom, but if they don't move him or they move him to a bad situation, it'll stay there.
All right. Well, there you go. That's our buddy. That's the man, the myth, the legend, Mike Gallagher. We only rock baskets here. We don't rock goals or hoops. Find him on Twitter at Mike S. Gallagher. Roto World is where all the happening is going down, and he's got multiple podcasts a week. You can find wherever podcasts are, the Roto World Fantasy Basketball Podcast. Mike, when can we get out to a game soon? Can we do this?
Yes, and we need to, no more of those Spaceballs references, no Mongrats references, man.
We did it without that.
We did do it without that. We'll
we
do a whole episode.
About basketball too much.
It was amazing. We'll do. Maybe what you need to do is you need to come on and do one of the secret shows with us for our ITL Army, and we'll just do a whole like recap of Spaceballs.
Dude,
we'll just
do that. I've been saying the entire time, man. We need a exclusive Spaceballs theme or Mongrats. I think our best podcast we did was when we did all Mongrats jokes.
Okay, so let's do this then. Let's think about this. You'll be back on in like 3 or 4 shows or whatever. Let's all write some material down, and we will do an entire Mongrats-based episode of fantasy basketball for like week 16 or something.
Dude, be prepared. I'm ready.
All right, let's get on
I'm
it.
So done.
All right, let's get on it. Well, Mike, we love you, brother. Hit him up on Twitter, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, man.
Want to thank Mike again for taking the time out, as he always does for us. A regular. He's a recurring regular guest here on In This League. Go to InThisLeague.com. Again, that is where you find that's our home base. That's where you find everything. You find all the shows. You find the YouTube stuff we do. We've got apparel. We got a new funny baseball shirt that we just put out. We're working on a basketball one, but we have got a bevy. I mean, we're in the double digits now, I think, of shirts. So if you want to support us, if you like In This League, go check out InThisLeague.com. It will lead you to all the places that you need to go. We're here every Wednesday, 8 to 10 Eastern. Don't hesitate to hit us up. Want to get you those ships. Want to get you winning your week. So hit us up on Twitter. Otherwise, we will talk to you next Wednesday in this league on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Peace out.
See ya.